It's been several months since, in having communion, we've gone to Isaiah. But today we do go back to the prophet Isaiah for our reading and meditation in God's Word. Isaiah chapter 58 is where we now are. It's been 10.5 years we've been going through Isaiah. We started that in 2005 to take some of it as we have communion each month. And of course, we've had breaks here and there from Isaiah on those Lord's days, but 10.5 years in Isaiah, chapter 58. It's not been verse by verse, of course, but I guess 10.5 years it might have been. Isaiah chapter 58, we'll only read the last two verses. First, of course, praying that the Lord would bless his word to us. Our Father in heaven, your word is rich, and all of it is true, it is perfect. It is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. For all things are open and laid bare before the eyes of you, with whom we have to give an account. We pray that your Holy Spirit then would bless this word read and preached, that it would have an incisiveness into our hearts, that though they are often disunited, that, Lord, you would put them together again and make them ready for service, for wholehearted praise and worship of your name, adoration of our Savior who died and rose for us, and that, Lord, as we live lives, we might know, in light of what we've heard this day, something more of the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, the freedom from sin and death, and the receiving of pleasures that you've given to us spiritually through the gospel of grace. Bless your word to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Rather brief passage, but this is the Lord's word to us. We know what cause and effect is, an action and then the result that happens after it. If you throw a stone into a pond, the effect is ripples and a circular motion. If you water your flowers, they're likely to bloom. Cause and effect. And the Bible states many solemn themes also by way of cause and effect. We know that the Bible's teaching is that if you sin, then you will die. Likewise, if you believe on the Lord Jesus, then you will be saved, you and your household. This is cause and effect. The same is true for how to delight in God. That's our theme today. Again, hear Isaiah, verse 13, first word, if. Verse 14, first word, then. If, because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. Cause and effect. If you delight in God, then remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, your cattle or your sojourner who stays among you. Because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and made it holy. Would you delight in God? Then according to Isaiah, observe the Sabbath day. Would you have God as your delight? Have you had him such that you would have more of God? Are you in some way spiritually weak, unfulfilled, or untaught, inconsistent, negligent, that you need help delighting in God? These are very real things, and what Isaiah preached long ago to Judah is still God's word to you and me. It's still God's word to us, especially those of us who would delight in God, because here God shows us how to do that. Yes, God gives us a sort of how-to sermon. The wider context, of course, is Judah. They were a religious people, but they were falling short as a religious people. We can relate to that because we're the same. We fall short. Their religious activities lacked heart. God found them routine, somewhat perfunctory, empty, unacceptable. Thus he taught them. He admonished them through the prophet Isaiah earlier in the chapter. He wanted them encouraged. He wanted them delighting in God, not merely dutiful before God, but delighting in God. Because mere duty falls short of what God means for his people. Some things, of course, they did delight in. In verse 2, they delight to know my ways. Again, verse 2, they delight in the nearness of God. But God went on to show through Isaiah that their fasting was ho-hum. They did it, unlike some people today. But they did it only by going without food. While they went without food, they didn't extend themselves to do good. Such things like remember the poor, free the oppressed, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to love their neighbor. The Sabbath, then, is God's lesson. It's God's way for you and me to delight in him. If, verse 13, because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own pleasures and ways and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. But it's not apart from the Sabbath day. If you are to delight in God, then you must have a particular regard for the Sabbath day. That Sabbath, that day, as its name means, of rest. A day of pause. A day of refreshing. A day of catching your breath. That seventh day of the week before Jesus died turned first day of the week once Jesus rose. That day our Lord himself observed for us, thereby as his disciples, Lord of the Sabbath, is Lord of no command that is irrelevant, unbinding, to be desecrated however we may desire. No, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And if we are his disciples, then that means the Sabbath day, of which he is Lord, has a very central and important place in our lives as Christians. That's why Hebrews 4:9 says, there therefore remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. We still believe in 10 commandments. Not 9 commandments, 6 days of work and labor, followed by one day of physical and spiritual rest. Thus, Christians following Jesus have observed it on the first day of the week, suitably called the Lord's Day, when they come together for acts of worship and piety. So then, how do you delight in the Lord in relation to the Sabbath day? Well, there are two that are outlined here. The first is to call the Sabbath. And secondly, stemming from that command to honor it, verse 13, we could say keep the Sabbath. We're to call the Sabbath a certain way, and we are to keep the Sabbath a certain way. Now, we call many things. Man has been doing this since the beginning. Adam named all the creatures and called them whatever he deemed appropriate. He named even his wife Eve, who was the mother of all the living. Eve named Seth. We might assume that she also named Cain and Abel. We're not sure. But we've been naming and calling things ever since the beginning. Parents do it. Scientists do it. Everybody calls things, whether they make the name or just use it. We call and we name things. We can't avoid it, really. We can't just describe something every time we're going to talk about it or address it. We have to classify it. It's too cumbersome otherwise. Familiarity, ease of life makes for us to call things and name things. The same is true for the Sabbath day. We have to call the Sabbath certain things. However, God, alone Lord of time and history, he is the one who has called the Sabbath what it is. He's already named it. And therefore, we have to agree with God when we call the Sabbath what we call it. Just as you can't call Adam Bob, you can't call the Sabbath day something else. You have to take it up as God speaks of the Sabbath day. So hear what God tells us to call the Sabbath day. It's there in verse 13. We should call it, first off, a delight. Again, verse 13. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight. There it is. We are to call the Sabbath day a delight. This is the Hebrew word for luxury. It's the Hebrew word for fine things of finest quality. Isaiah has already used it back in chapter 13 to describe the palace. Delightful things. He's used it for the attitude one should have over an abundance of harvest or plenteous things. The psalmist too used it of delighting in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart, delighting yourself in abundance and prosperity. God tells us to call the Sabbath day a day of the finest things, a day of luxury, a day of rich things, celebrating a satisfying abundance of harvest. Why? Because he's made it to be what it is. We'd delight if we had luxurious things. What would it be like to own a Rolls Royce? What would it be like to have a mansion where money is not an object, really? You don't need to clean it. You can just enjoy it. We would have a sense of satisfaction. God has done this with the Sabbath. It's a day of spiritual luxury. The finest things that he's provided for his people. The homeless beggar, given not only a place at the feast table, but that same homeless beggar given title to the mansion in which the feast table is set. That's something of the Sabbath day. It's untold luxury spiritually that Jesus has provided for us. And so then we, like the homeless beggar, now in Christ, we have all of this wealth an abundance for our souls. We have been given rich things, and so we feel rich. We're enriched, all because of His grace. Have you done what the Apostle Paul has said at the beginning of Ephesians? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Have you counted your blessings? Can we count them all? Everything from forgiveness of sin to peace with God, of a new fellowship of people that all have been led in the Lord's grace to believe on Jesus Christ. And we have a whole eternity and a future together as brothers and sisters. We have answered prayers. We have the hope of a life to come. We have spiritual power in times of temptation. We have untold things to learn and study and to have Christ bedazzle us with as we do. We have the riches of His grace. The Sabbath day is a day in which we recall such things, in that Christ has died and is alive from the dead. Miracle of miracles, that the Son of God laid down His life and took it again, so that we could have everlasting life. The Sabbath day is given. We need to set it aside because there's so much luxury to uncover. It's a day to worship God, to have His ordinances comfort us, convict us of sin that we might move out of ourselves to that service and obedience that the Lord sets before us. We have a day given to rest, a day of physical rest, a day of spiritual celebration. It's a day to be as close to the life to come as we possibly can in this life. That's what God has provided for us in the luxury of the Sabbath day. And so God means for the Sabbath day not only to be your duty, but to be your delight. Is the Sabbath day your delight? Even so, the delight is found in the duty. You like those candies where you've got thick chocolate and inside is a nice sweet cherry. Sometimes you can almost feel the granular sugar bits as you bite into it. You have to go through the chocolate to get to the cherry. In the same way, there is delight on the Sabbath that's encased by duty. You have to go through the duty to have the delight. And it's not apart from the duty, but it's in connection with the duty that the whole delight of the Sabbath day, like that cherry, when your teeth and your tongue meet it together, the luxury of the Sabbath day. It's here that we understand something of what John the Apostle was saying, that his commands are not burdensome to us. The Sabbath day is a day of freedom, of rest and liberty. Is it burdensome to bite through a chocolate cordial to get to the cherry? Then why would you think that it's a burden to keep the Sabbath day holy to the Lord? The Puritans called the Sabbath day something that sweetly complied with the law. There's no contradiction between keeping a Sabbath day holy to the Lord as a fourth command of the moral law and the grace of the gospel. They both sweetly comply in a cordial way, could we say, for you and I to enjoy as luxury. We must call the Sabbath day a delight. His command is not burdensome to us. Secondly, we should call it honorable. As Isaiah says, call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable. It's worthy of honor. When the judge enters the courtroom, all rise. When you address the judge, you say, Your Honor. You don't say, Dude. You don't even say, Sir. You say, Your Honor. It might be dude when he's funning with his teenage son. It might be sir when, as a stranger, we have to interrupt this person on the street for directions. But as a vested or seated judge, it's your honor. And you give him reverence, not merely attention or obedience. Your honor, your worship, the old way. Somebody worthy of that dignity and respect. God is the judge of judges, has called the Sabbath day honorable. God is a Sabbath keeper. He's honored the Sabbath day. He blessed the Sabbath day and therein made it holy. He set it apart by his own example. The honorable Sabbath day. The honorable Lord's day, Isaiah's getting at. And yet people reduce this day, could we say, to a dude day. They bring it down to what is common, to what is ordinary. Or worse, they profane the Lord's day, or they desecrate it, as though it's a bare wall that can be graffitied or painted however we like. Even so, the day is what God has called it to be. It's the holy day of the Lord to be honored because it's honorable. It's the Lord's day. It must be honored. And therefore, Christian, the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, is not your day. It's not your day. If you think it is, you're wrong. Give it back. Stop stealing from God. It's not our day. It's the Lord's day. You do worse than call Adam Bob. By this, you're calling God dude when it comes to the Sabbath day. As Isaiah says, call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable. All rise, as it were, for the Sabbath day. We awake first thing in the morning with our work behind us and ourselves prepared for this holy day of the Lord that we're ready to honor because it's honorable by God's own word. And when that sun rises, or as we awake, all rise for the Sabbath day. It's honorable. Rise up to it. And as Romans 13 says, verse 7 has by a principle, give honor where honor is due. But what really is at stake? What really is at issue with calling the Sabbath day honorable? What does it really matter? Well, it all has to do with what God is doing with the Sabbath day. What is God doing with the Sabbath day? The Sabbath, as God's sanctified day, is his way to make for a sanctified people. That's what God is doing with the Sabbath day. He's sanctifying his people on a day that he is sanctified by means that are sanctified means, holy means. He sanctified us once for all through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is in an ongoing way sanctifying us by the Holy Spirit, through the truth of the Word of God in our hearts and minds. And on the Sabbath day, he is sanctifying us. He's making us holy. He's conforming us to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Sabbath day is a means by which, it's the setting in which God is sanctifying his people and making them to be holy as he is holy. The sanctifier sanctifies on a sanctified day. Makes total sense. Would we be a sanctified people? Would we delight in God for the grace given to us to be such people? A man may work in his garage and fix things. Some people might call it putzing. God fixes things. He doesn't putz. It's as though the Sabbath day is his walled-in place. His special place where he goes with all of his tools and gadgets and so forth. And by the means of grace, he calls sinners to become saints. He shapes sons into the image of God. He mends daughters. He refurbishes children to bear the image of Christ. That's what God is doing on the Sabbath day. He's there at work while we enter into, mysteriously, his rest. A foretaste of heaven to come. The Puritan Thomas Case said this: God sanctifies us when he makes us what we are not. We sanctify him when we acknowledge him to be what he is. There's no better time for that than the Sabbath day. There's no better setting to do that than in public worship together, where God himself has already promised to be and pledged to be at work through means that he has sanctified. Case goes on to say, it is not fit to make sacred time to serve any but sacred uses. That's like Malachi saying, you're robbing God. It is not fit to make sacred time to serve any but sacred uses. Surely the Sabbath is the very spring upon which the holy conversation of the whole week is turned and moved. In other words, if you would be holy, then you must honor and keep the Sabbath, which God designed to make you holy. And further, it's the hinge of the door that opens into the week. And you can't get through the door and into the week well and properly unless you open that door properly. The Sabbath day is first day of the week now for a very evident reason. We've rested from our work. We begin having entered into the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We've overcome the grave. We've overcome sin. We've been taken out from judgment and been put into life and favor with God. We start the day or the week different than other people do. We begin our week with rest, not with work. Are you interested in being holy? A real measure of that is what you do then with the Lord's day. It's a barometer. It's a thermostat for your spiritual temper. The more of it you keep to Christ, the more by it you're conformed to Christ. Seriously. In a very real sense, you're about as holy as you are keeping the Lord's day. And this mindset comes a real delight in the Sabbath. Another Puritan says, God blessed the day and sanctified it. They must go together. If we would have it happy, then we must make it holy. How sad that we live in a culture that cherishes happiness over holiness. Happy, happy, happy. You don't hear holy, holy, holy outside of the scripture. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of holiness far outweighs even what the best of cultures of a free country can in this life. The pursuit of holiness, without which no man will see the Lord, Scripture says. It doesn't say that of happiness. As much as we love a free society and happiness, God has a higher end than that. Even a much higher constitution that we pursue holiness. So, to delight in God then means that you call the Sabbath day a delight. Honorable. Which leads us then to honor it. Secondly, keep the Sabbath. If you call the Sabbath these things, well then you will keep the Sabbath with these things. The first point was how we go about thinking of the Sabbath day. Now it's about doing on the Sabbath day. Isaiah not only says to call the Sabbath day honorable, but also to honor it. Now maybe you have a version of the Bible that says, and to honor him, as though it's God. The Hebrew is a little indifferent. It could be either one. The closest referent is to honor it, honor the day that he just spoke of. So we honor the Sabbath day. It all comes down to the same. If we honor the day, we honor God. And if we honor God, then we will honor the day. We call the Sabbath day honorable and honor it. This is Isaiah's way of echoing what Moses said. Remember the Sabbath day. Observe the Sabbath day. Here it's honor it. Honor the Sabbath day. You listen to Isaiah in terms of what is involved in this. How do we honor the Sabbath day? If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, here it is, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will delight in the Lord. The Sabbath day, keeping and honoring the day, involves turning from our own pleasures, our own ways, our own words. In short, it's the day that we put down our stuff and we take up God's stuff. It's that simple. That's the Sabbath day. If it pleases us more than God, or pleases us apart from God, then we forgo it. If we do it without God's command, or without the Bible's approval, or for a reason other than the glory of God, then we don't do it. If we speak a word without God's approval, or for other than God's glory, then we reject it. That's the principle that he set forth in keeping the Sabbath day. It may be fitting on other days, but it's not fitting on the unique Sabbath day. That's the day where our first catechism question comes to have a real bearing. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Forever we are to enjoy God. The Sabbath day, then, is but a wallet-sized picture of that life to come, that everlasting Sabbath that we will one day upon death or our Lord's return inherit. Today is a, could we say, a dress rehearsal for all the glories of the life to come. The fellowship of the saints, Christ being the center of all of our words, God testifying to his glory, we being encouraged and basking in the Lord's presence, serving God and serving one another. This is as close a day you will get this side of eternity. And because that's our destiny in Christ, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, we therefore call the Sabbath day a delight, honorable, and honor it, turning from our own pleasures, seeking our own ways, speaking our own words. How else will our hope of heaven be a regular expectation for us? What if the Sabbath was an annual thing? Well, we'd look forward to it. But as a weekly thing, God has given us a pace, as it were, for inheriting the life to come. And every week we go through this cycle of 6 days of work and labor, 1 day of rest. And the Lord gives us a step in our rhythm. And that step in our rhythm is making us to land in the rhythm of heaven, where we will inherit all that we've been about on the Sabbath day. It means then that we have to examine. We have to honestly examine how we then keep the Lord's day. If there's an everlasting Sabbath to come, then there must be a continuing Sabbath to keep. We may as well expect an endless continuation of time otherwise. So examine yourself on how you keep the Sabbath. Have you asked yourself what God thinks of your Sabbath day? Have you brought your Sabbath day words before the Word of God? Do your Sabbath day actions match up with how Jesus spent the Sabbath day? Do they agree with how the disciples spent their Lord's day in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, praying, singing, giving alms, and serving each other? Is that your Lord's day? Does what you do on the Lord's Sabbath day advance the kingdom of Christ, or does it merely satisfy your own desires and agenda? The way you keep your Sabbath day, would Jesus also do with you what you do on the Sabbath day? I say to you, think honestly. We all must think honestly on these things. TV watching, entertainment, hobbies, projects, athletic events, yard work, errands, shopping. Would Jesus be doing these things? And if so, why? There are such things as works of mercy. There are such things as works of necessity. We're there to serve our neighbor, especially in times of need. There is an appropriate work for the Sabbath day so that people may rest. Such things the Lord does approve of. Hospitals should be open. Law enforcement for the good of society. Those things are needed and necessary, and the Scripture does approve those. But in terms of our own life, in terms of particulars, there's much examination that we each can and should do on how we spend the Sabbath day. Is what we're doing clearly strengthening us in things of faith, hope, and love? Are they agreeing with or advancing God's kingdom among men? And are they any different than what non-believers do on the Sabbath day? Such questions, real questions, we should regularly ask ourselves if we are interested in delighting in God. If because of the Sabbath day these things mark you, then you will take delight in the Lord. God is here calling you to show true faith as well as holiness. It calls you to true faith. Do we not have sinful reasons for doing things that we do on the Sabbath? Are they not misguided rationalizations sometimes? I think that we'd all find that that's the case. Are the things that we do on the Sabbath day more of a Mary concern or a Martha concern? You remember Martha being much disturbed and anxious over many things to deal with. And Mary sat there quietly listening to the Lord teach. Are our Sabbath thinking and doing, are they like Ruth at the border of Moab? Or are they like Naomi? You remember Ruth said with all gusto, "Your God is my God. Wherever you go, I'm going with you." And Naomi said, "Well, just go back to Moab. Have a life there." Putting those things with the Sabbath, where are we in light of delighting in the Lord? Our own pleasures, our own ways, our own words on the Sabbath day. Call the Sabbath day a delight and honorable. We do not call the Sabbath day a bore. If we're in Christ, the day is not a bore. It's a day to celebrate. We do not call the day something to loathe. Something to endure, like the people in Amos' day that couldn't wait for the Sabbath day to be over so that they could get back to their business. The Sabbath day is a delight, honorable, and therefore, as we keep it, having called it this way, we turn from our own pleasures, our own words, our own ways. Is that not what you're going to be doing when you take your last breath from this life? Aren't you going to turn from your own pleasures? Turn from your own ways and your own words? Do you not, as a Christian, want more and more of the Lord's pleasures, which are there at His right hand, especially in the life to come? Would you not then begin practicing that on the day the Lord means for that, especially? So we turn from all of these things that tend as temptations to mark our Sabbath day. But it leads us then to the last section of keeping the Sabbath day, and that's to delight then in your God-given privileges. Your God-given privileges. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure, call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, honoring it, desisting from your own ways, pleasures, words, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. This is an Old Testament way of saying you will have such exhilaration, you'll have such prosperity, you'll be, to use our maybe way of saying it, you'll be on cloud nine. You will be on top of the world. And I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What is Isaiah being assigned by God to preach here as a motive to Sabbath keeping is not law so much as grace. It's delighting in your God-given privileges. That's what he's saying here. We've just had the New York State Fair. Imagine yourself eight again. And here you've got a full day ride pass. But not only that, but you can eat all your food and drink free. And you can even go to those stands where they have the games that seem to take a whole lot of money to win those huge gorillas or large teddy bears. What if everything was free? And you could just keep going at it until you receive the prize of the huge gorilla or the large cuddly teddy bear. Oh, that would be like heaven for a kid. The Sabbath day is like that for the people of God. The Puritans called it the market day of the soul. The market day of the soul. Listen to one Puritan. This is the book by that title, which is an excellent book for you to read in terms of the history of the Sabbath. Hail thou that art highly favored of God, thou map of heaven, thou golden spot of the week. Thou market day of souls, thou daybreak of eternal brightness, thou queen of days, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among days. What eloquence! What expressive way to say the Lord's day is the chief of the days. It's the market day of the soul. You can, as Isaiah opened up there at chapter 55, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? The Sabbath day is the market day of the soul, where, as it were, you walk into the New York State Fair and you say, I'm going to try to get that dime in the cup all day. Until I get that huge gorilla. I'm going to get that basket into the hoop, which is about this much larger than the basketball. I'm going to try all day, and I'm going to not cease until I get it in and I get my prize. That's what the Sabbath day is for you. It's the market day of the soul. So what does your soul want from God? What does your soul need from God? Come and get it, is God's invitation. It's the market day. Oh yeah, we have that. It's right over here. Come on. Oh, no, no charge today. It's all free today. Do you need more? Take some. It's the market day of the soul. It's a day for you to freely delight in your God-given, blood-bought, Christ-offered privileges. If you have this mindset, how is reading your Bible a chore? How is spending time meditating, delighting in prayer, a bore? How is it so? Unless we must conclude that there's really then no soul life there. And if you're not interested in the things of the Sabbath day, are you interested in the things of heaven? Are you? Do you really need someone to sit here and preach law to you to keep the Sabbath day? Have you not been so graced by the Lord Jesus Christ, bought with his blood, mercies to you every morning and evening through all eternity, that you would need someone to preach law? You know the grace of God, and so you should give yourselves to such resurrection life, newness of life, already an ushering into the things of eternity on the Sabbath day. You need only lay hold of those things, as Paul was saying, I strive to lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of me. The Sabbath day is that day for such spiritual exercise. It's, as it were, a sampling of the fruit of the promised heavenly Canaan before you inherit it. Don't you remember the spies brought back the fruit? They were amazed at how large, tasty it was. The Sabbath day is the day for you to just go and get until that day when God delivers it in full. No wonder why we're neglectful with the Sabbath day. Maybe it's because we come at it from the perspective of law and not grace. God means it when he says here that you'll ride on the heights of the earth. You'll be on top of the world. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. Our Lord Jesus Christ has done much for us, given us our very lives and salvation. The Sabbath day is the day then that we are giving thanks and taking up the riches of his grace for us. And so as Paul to, like Ephesus, departing in a parting word, I commend you to the grace of God and to his word, which is able to build you up to the inheritance of the saints. Cause and effect, if for the sake of the Sabbath, you keep the Sabbath and call it what it is, then you will delight in the Lord your God. So one hymn says, hail to the Sabbath day, the day divinely given, when men to God their homage pay and earth draws near to heaven. Lord, may that holier day dawn on thy servant's sight, and purer worship may we pay in heaven's unclouded light. The Sabbath day is about all these things. As Augustine said, that our souls are restless until they find their rest in you, O God. So our souls are often Sabbathless until they keep the Sabbath that God has ordained for us to keep. Call the Sabbath day a delight, honorable. Keep it by honoring it, turning from your own stuff, and taking up the delights of Christ's mercies to us. Let us pray. O Lord our God, there is much here, much in the way of feasting for our souls, much here to gladden our often sorrowful hearts, much here to challenge us to rise up to the occasion to live fully in Christ by the Spirit's help and power. Lord, we come to a feast table today, and we have the title to the mansion itself. We pray that as you've graced us in this way, that we would take this day to give wholehearted thanks to you, that from morning to evening we might be taken up in acts of love and adoration of you, service and worship and calling on your name. Lord, we confess that we have often come short of the Sabbath day freedom and liberty. And we pray that by your grace you would build us up to see what grace you've shown us to have on this day. And may we be spiritually prosperous because of this day, such that as we go into our labors, we might do them all with the strength and the encouragement that you've given us. Lord, bless this day to your name's sake and feed us in your grace, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.